You're listening to
The Real King
with Joe and Heidi King.
Do you need the smells shut off? Do you want me to open the door?
It doesn't really make a difference.
So if you were wondering where we were last week, everybody was sick and Heidi's still nauseous.
Yeah, but she's 7 months pregnant.
Is it seven?
It'll be next week.
That's almost done.
Literally.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know. My God. Are you stressed?
No.
Are you gonna start nesting, or do you think
she's
we should?
Been doing
do you think we should get a box or something for it to sleep in?
We're good.
Yeah.
You gonna make a nursery?
No, I told him I only want to do the first 6 months. Like, I want to get...
see how it goes and then maybe get rid of it later.
Like, let's just... so let's get enough for
let's
the
see
first
if she can
months.
Assimilate into the family well enough.
And then we'll decide where we're going to put her.
Can I tell you my idea?
The problem is we have too many options.
No, I want to tell you my idea. Bedrooms. Idea. I'm going to tell you. Oh, mansion. I think you keep her in your bedroom in a bassinet. And then you graduate her to the landing.
That's what Joe literally said yesterday.
No, not the landing.
No,
in the middle,
underneath
but like
the sunroof or the sun.
The sunroof.
Up in the,
what's
the
it called?
Upstairs living room?
The sunlight.
Sunlight.
Skylight.
The skylight. Let's put her underneath the sunlight.
Yeah. The incubator.
Just right outside.
No. I said the landing because like then
what landing
that landing.
Oh, okay.
That because that's where anybody would be able to hear her.
Yeah.
Pluto. Max, Jasmine.
Jasmine won't. Max. I can scream for Jasmine for like an hour from her door. And she's laying there with her
legs
feet
crossed.
Up
yeah.
In the air.
Crisscross applesauce.
Yep. Yeah. Sleeping. Yep.
That's so funny.
How does your leg not slip?
He sleeps that way, and his leg does slip sometimes.
I read something that talked about different ways people sleep.
Yeah.
And if you sleep like that, you're comfortable. Like, you don't feel threatened. Like, if you slept with your legs tight together and crossed, naturally you're protecting your
genitals.
Reproductive system.
What do you think is going to happen?
No, if even in conversation, if you cross your ankles,
that's so strange.
Like in a job interview, that's like a natural, like when you feel threatened, or that's a natural thing to do.
I go in and I do this. I am open. I am receptive.
You do the 30-year-old guy in sweatpants watching football.
I'm manspreading.
Yeah. Yeah. No, not me.
No, you're sitting like a lady. No, I think that's the best spot. Okay, yeah. Mark my words. I've been saying this for months. Number one. Number two, the other night, I became a back sleeper at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was sleeping like this.
Oh, and then you got to put your arms down. It hurts.
No, I was sleeping on my back like this. And Carlos took a picture.
He's like, what?
Because Nellie was next to me and she was sleeping the exact same way.
What has entered my wife? She's never slept like this.
And I was comfortable at the time, but I was uneasy looking back at it. Like, I am unprotected. Why am I so comfortable there?
Anything,
I'm not.
Anything could just nest in my armpit.
Gross.
Aw, Nellie's
that's so
all
cute.
Cuddled up.
Let me see. Yeah, sick.
So we can talk about.
Well, I think it would be helpful to tell people, as you two particularly, where you were delivered, and you were delivered too, but you were part of a situation where things were really bad. Okay. And then Joe got delivered, and when that happens, everything is immediately different, but at the same time, everything is exactly the same.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is God comes in and like completely changes
you.
Mm-hmm. But your environment is the same.
Yeah.
And so many people come into the church world, or like they get to know Jesus, or like they get saved, right? Because getting to know him, I'm still getting to know him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that you're a, what did you say?
Lifetime learner.
There you go. She knew exactly what I was talking about right there. So I think it's important, because anybody can experience this.
Yeah.
Where they come in and they have an encounter with God, and they're deeply, profoundly changed and impacted.
Yeah.
But it's easy to lose momentum. It's easy to get discouraged, because at the same time that everything is so different, everything is yeah. exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. I have so many times I sit down with people and they're discouraged because their family is still saying things like, well, don't go drink mm-hmm. or don't do this. And I tell people often, like, it took over 2 years of being completely sober and free in my own marriage
mm-hmm.
before there was enough fruit piled up against accusation for Heidi not to react to certain things, right?
Like certain situations, like yeah. you would get nervous.
Like or... around old friends type of oh, thing, you know? Like I had to go to, 6 months in, had to go to best friend's wedding.
And
had to ride in a limousine with some of my closest drinking buddies for 20 years.
Yeah.
They made it so that Heidi could not ride in the vehicle with us.
Mm-hmm. I was there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then they took a long ride around a lake, right? And everybody was drinking. They actually tried to slip me an alcoholic drink. Yep,
I remember right? that.
But this is the hard part, is looking somebody in the eye, like, so the necessity and the severity of water baptism, right? Remittance mm-hmm. of sins.
Yeah.
Through water baptism, when Jesus explains it to Nicodemus, he says, you need to be born again.
Mm-hmm.
And Nicodemus, the Pharisee, says, what are you expecting, to go back inside my mother's womb?
Yeah.
And he says, and he explains it to him, you know, in unless a man's born of the water and of the spirit, he'll not enter he'll not see the kingdom of heaven, yeah. right?
Mm-hmm.
Water baptism. If you go into that with a serious understanding of what that means, biblically, God remits or blots out your sin.
Yeah.
Which means he surrenders his right to punish you for that sin. He never remembers it again. Right?
Yeah, I think... So, like, if you have something that's remitted versus, like, forgiven,
mm-hmm.
forgiven, there's a record that there was a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that it was forgiven.
So.
Like a debt, right? Yeah. And if, in what he does is there's no record of it.
Right. And the problem is that's between me and God.
Yeah.
So if I've just went through a weekend where God transformed my life, he withdrew, he withdrew all the hooks and the chains and all the things that the devil has attached to me that's kept me down for so long. And now all those things are gone.
Mm-hmm.
I can physically, spiritually, socially, and emotionally tell they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't expect you, who's known me for my entire life, to look at me and 100% believe that. Right?
Right.
I can't expect that of you.
Yeah.
So what I have to do is I have to live a life seeking first his kingdom, God's mm-hmm. kingdom, and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto me.
Yeah.
The trust that's been broken, that I broke for 30 years
yeah.
with my mother, now will be restored in a season of God's ability and his doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
He'll start to give me favor there. But these people are still going to watch. They're still going
to. I think you still have people watching.
Oh, for sure. Oh,
100% I do.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting the direction you went, because I think there's multiple ways of looking at it. I think that that's like the accuser of the brethren is going to continually pop up after you've been delivered. And it's going to be like that. And the enemy tries to continually sow seeds of discord and distrust. That's why, like, I know I personally have had dreams where you drank.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happened
to me, I've had those dreams.
I know. You know. But when that happened to me, I know that there's no truth in that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's trying to instill fear.
Yeah.
And suspicion. Right. So I just dismiss it because it's not of God. And I can tell because you can discern that. But I find it interesting that that was where you went first. When I think of Heidi's situation, and really the both of you, this is kind of where my mind went, is this thing happens and then you're kind of on guard, like no sudden movements.
Mm-hmm.
But even though everything is different, you still were losing your house.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We got evicted.
You still...
Like everything was still status quo.
Everything was still really bad,
mm-hmm.
because it was the bed you guys had made.
Yeah.
And you were laying in it, yeah. You know? And
it actually got...
Like, it got worse.
It got worse.
Before it got better.
We realized that God was in that.
Yeah. Because now you can see that.
He totally... he took away the ability for us to have those connections. So now all of a sudden we had that Saul, mm-hmm. in the 3 years in the Arabian wilderness, where we were learning everything afresh. I mean, we had to take this apartment that looked like somebody was murdered in it, because like the carpet was so black and full of nasty mold and stuff. And we had to clean it.
Yeah. At the same time though, if God wouldn't have had the eviction happen at the time that it did, so that's one thing too. One thing about, like, when you get a deliverance, you have to work it out and walk it out. It's not this magic pill,
yeah.
that everything is going to, like, exactly what the whole topic is today. It's not a magic pill where everything all of a sudden is perfect, but you still have to do things on your own,
yeah.
to make your life as different as it can be during that time. Yeah. So for example, if you got delivered from alcoholism, you literally no longer had any booze in the house.
I've yeah. never met an alcoholic that's not a liar. So they will lie to hide their addiction. They'll lie to have a stash somewhere.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Right.
And one of the things God did is put me in a place where I had to live an honest life.
Mm-hmm.
I had to immediately start living truth.
Yeah.
But I think, like, in our situation, like, he literally, I feel, plucked us out of that place of memory.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think if he would have stayed there long enough, I think memories would have just honestly kind of depressed you, to be completely honest. Like, I think, God, in certain situations, you, if you have the ability, like, if it's that type of situation like Joe's, where it was so dramatic, we literally moved. The change of
scenery.
Like, we literally moved.
It was instrumental, mm-hmm. in the healing.
Literally.
I agree with that.
Our neighbors, like...
Well, and you... And like
didn't...
You stop hanging out with drinking buddies. Like, yeah. So certain things... Well,
they immediately, when things shifted, they all scattered.
Man. Well, correct. But at the same time, though, that's where that personal responsibility comes, where you knew you got delivered from alcoholism. So I'm sure that if somebody came up to you and was like, hey, buddy, let's go to the bar, you'd be like, no.
Well, I was such a person of influence in that group,
mm-hmm.
that your thought is like, man, I got this new lease on life. We're going to do this together.
Yeah.
Like if this person and this person joins me, we're going to get the whole squad.
Mm-hmm.
And they did not want to even have a conversation. And rightfully so. Like, I get it. Like, I can totally understand how...
Because they believed that's who you really were, mm-hmm. and that's who you really are. And when people are convinced that that's who the real you is, then they believe that this you is disingenuous. Mm-hmm. And it's actually the opposite. Mm-hmm. That was a faker.
Yeah.
That person who's now dead and gone and under the blood, that all that crap is, you know, dead and gone. But that person was the liar. It was a counterfeit of you. And it's like, I think of like Marvel. I always make dumb comparisons like Marvel movies, but like it was a variant of you. Yeah. There's the one true you. Mm-hmm. And that's the one that God called you to be. Yeah. And when you're living according to who he called you to be and according to his will and purpose for your life, that's the truest form of self.
Yeah.
When you put him first and you, like you said, seek him and his righteousness, that's your truest self.
Yeah.
All these people wrapped up in New Age are trying to find their true self. We just told you how to find it.
Yeah.
Seek God first above anything.
Do you know how many times I was in taverns, bars, clubs, whatever, and a conversation about spirituality would come up. Mm-hmm. And I would tell people under the influence about people being raised from the dead, healings, miraculous things that I witnessed growing up as a child.
Right.
Deliverances. Yeah. I would be in a tavern telling people about people
actively drinking.
And I would be telling people like, this witch came into my grandpa's church for help and threw up blood.
Yeah.
And I was like 8, you know, and it was like this whole Pastor thing. Lynette's like, mm-hmm. everybody repent right now. Get your lives right. Because this person was
they needed help.
And they were a very, whatever they were into was very strong. Mm.
It was nefarious.
But when you look at those situations, that counterfeit of boldness that came with ingesting spirits, mm-hmm. right? When you go to the liquor store, what does it say on the front of the building? House of spirits.
Yeah.
Right? Get yourself some warm spirits tonight.
Yeah.
So looking back, and then even counseling with church people, mm-hmm. like within the last 5 years, of, you know, when I have a margarita and I'm out at the Mexican restaurant, I know it's like the first thing they want to justify, this guy to the Lord.
Yeah, it's gross.
This is the thing, is like, now I'm on the other side and I know what boldness is. Mm-hmm. So whatever that was that I had to drink to take my inhibitions away, to like get me to a place where I wasn't afraid of men. Mm-hmm. It was a fear of man. So I actively had a spirit of fear.
Yeah.
And then I had to suppress that through pharmakia or medication. Mm-hmm. So I was drinking alcohol, right? To be able to do those same things now. I was in a multimillionaire's house today. Mm-hmm. And I started talking to him about our church.
Yeah. Like, is he going to come be a tither?
I have no idea.
10%.
But... We had amazing conversations, like, and then he ended up being pulled into meetings, and then I ended mm-hmm. up finishing conversations with his spouse. They both work remotely, you know, and like walking out of these situations, right? I'm walking out of their $1 million home and realizing like God has brought.
That's somebody that you wouldn't have been able to talk to without a few drinks.
I would have been so aware of their social status and wealth and the lack thereof of mine.
It would have been
debilitating. That I actually probably would have been obnoxious and rude to them.
Yeah, aggressive. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to be able to sit and laugh and joke and just have just a good time.
So... when you were coming out of all of that, and this is what I want to drill into. People that come and they have an encounter with God, I feel like inevitably they want to seek that change in their life, right? So like they come, they have an encounter, they're changed on the inside. They want to take the step to make a change on the outside. So they want to change like who they spend their time with Sometimes people are in an ungodly relationship.
Yeah.
Like they're not married, or they're in a same-sex union or something like that. And like they're in this situation and everything on the inside of them and in their spirit is different because God came in like a flood. So what do you say to those people in navigating through that? And acknowledging too that we did talk about this. I can't remember if it was a recent episode where there's like a spirit of loneliness tries to come in, mm-hmm. you know, and you feel isolated and there's a high that happens naturally, right? Like you get a new job, there's a high.
Yep.
You get in a new relationship, there's a high. Like you, as a human, when you have not catastrophic. What's the other? When you have a life-changing event like yeah. that, where you have an encounter, a true encounter with God, you inevitably, physiologically, will have a high from that. Mm-hmm. But then you come down.
Yep.
And that's where we lose a lot of people. Because they come down and they start, the enemy comes in and he's like, that wasn't real.
Yep.
That didn't happen. It wasn't as big of a change logic comes in. First of all, an encounter with God defies logic. You can't make sense of it. And if you sit and try to make sense of it, that's where it's like you start to take it apart piece yeah. by piece.
And if you don't tell people about it and stay active with it, it actually gets harder to maintain.
Yeah.
The testimony.
So that's what I wanted to talk about is like that moment where it's like if I create like a mental image, it's like you come in the house, it's quiet, you sit down on the couch, you're all alone. Mm-hmm. How do you keep your salvation? How do you
work it out? So that's one thing. Mm-hmm. So these encounters, deliverances, anything like this, that is God working.
Yeah.
As soon as that part's over, it literally shifts to you now working.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is where one of the biggest like problems is with people is they feel that if God took alcohol or God took nicotine or whatever it might be for you,
yeah,
that at that moment, like that moment marks that you will never have another temptation, that you will never have another problem, that you will, because God now, you feel like handpicked by yeah. God. And now you feel like everything needs to be like literally this gold road
yeah.
that you're now going to walk out. That is where most people fail mm-hmm. because God does his work. But then as soon as that's over, he still gives you the power and the ability to be doing these things.
The grace to.
But that is where your work mm-hmm. starts, where you now have to look and be like, what do I now need to change specifically
yeah.
in my daily routine, in my daily life, in my friends group, in my home, mm-hmm. so that I create a different atmosphere that's no longer like yeah. the one I was living.
You yeah. have to. So for me, immediately, before I ever started serving in a church, I immediately had to get tied into discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
And like my church that I went to, like did not have anybody
at that time
in my situation or my level.
Mm.
So I ended up hanging out with a bunch of old people.
Yeah.
And like they became like my squad. They yeah. were like my best friends. Like one dude that I served with all the time when I finally did start serving, he was like 84.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But God cultivated an environment around me that I needed. I didn't need anybody I could compete with.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't need to sound like I knew as much as the people discipling me.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that I was coming in low on the totem pole and I had to take the lowest seat at the wedding. Jesus said, don't come in like that. Take the lowest seat.
Mm-hmm.
Don't come in thinking you're this guest, yeah. honorable guest. Take the lowest seat, lest the man who prepared the wedding come and say, hey, I need you to go sit down there because this guest of honor gets that mm-hmm. seat, right?
Yeah.
Let the guest... Let the person who's invited the guest bid you come up higher.
Yeah.
Right? So I came in and I took the low seat for several years. And I just, I cleaned. I cooked. I did whatever if water needed to be carried into the church.
quick sidebar. When you said that, I immediately was brought back to the wedding that Carlos and I went to. And we were at, and I may have told this story on a different episode, but we were at a table with like physicians and nurse practitioners and nurses. And they like, first of all, it was such an honor. The people getting married asked me to speak a blessing, like the say the prayer over the food.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It was so nice. So I get back to the table and it was a big ballroom, lots of tables, hundreds of people, you know, and like they had said, okay, we're going to let the head table go and then we'll do table by table. And it was like a buffet. So we're all sitting there visiting and all of a sudden one of the doctors goes, where'd Carlos go? And I was like, where did Carlos go? And I look up and he is at the buffet with the wedding party. Getting a plate of food.
Yeah, buddy. No he fear came, of man. Go no, get yours.
He came back with a full plate of food, sat down and started eating. He's like, you guys, this is really good.
You know what's amazing? Is at every wedding I've ever been to, there's like a bunch of people that complain about the food. So hopefully that bride seen it and was like, see, so you see, you said don't pick salmon. And that guy totally ate the salmon.
But when you
like, who was that like, guy? That was Christina's husband.
Yeah. Wait until you're, it was Carlos. Everybody knows Carlos. But like, it just reminded me of.
Is that the one where they kept putting bread on your plate?
No, that was a whole different way. Everybody that walked by put a roll on Carlos's plate. There's a picture. It's just got like 30 rolls on his plate. He loves dinner rolls though.
That's all right.
But anyway, sorry. I just thought of that when you were talking about you should take the lower seat.
Absolutely.
Been through that. Literally.
Jesus was clear when it comes to any kind of deliverance, when a spirit is removed, it goes into a deserted, dry place. It finds no comfort and says, let me return to my home.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if the home is clean and swept, but not occupied, and that thing comes back in, it comes in with seven spirits stronger than itself.
It doesn't specify that it's the same type of spirits. No. Could be accompanying, you know.
If mm-hmm. if you had a problem with anger, maybe this is a generational thing. Mom had it. Dad had it. You've had it.
Mm-hmm.
God, take it from me. God, take it from me. And then all of a sudden you get this freedom, and then anger comes knocking and you allow it to come in. Who knows?
Hello, old friend.
It might come in with something
worse.
Nasty, like a craving for carnal things, pornography. You know what I mean? And like
murder.
What a horrible. Like mm-hmm. And seven spirits stronger than itself. Yeah. So what a horrible concoction now. Now you have anger and lust. What kind of trash are you going to watch?
Yeah, that's you know the importance there.
Abuse? Are you going to allow yourself to, eyes are the window to the soul, you're going to allow yourself to watch abusive pornography? Because that stuff's out there.
Yeah, gross.
So we have to be guarded.
I just got uncomfortable.
And I hope everybody does. Because we can't be comfortable with sin.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause God's not. He won't share a throne of your heart with sin.
And so instead of having this vacant, clean and swept, but vacant place, you're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. 100%. So you start with discipleship. Every church that I know so many churches around here, every Sunday morning, I put a list out.
Yeah.
And I know all these pastors personally. And every one of them has some sort of road of discipleship. As soon as you've made a decision and you want to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, they have something.
Yeah.
And then you get in and you get tied in. And sometimes people don't acknowledge you as like this awesome new facet to the church right away. Sometimes you just have to attend for a while until people get to know you.
Yeah.
Because people that are on staff at churches watch hundreds of people come and go throughout the year.
Yeah, that's true.
And sometimes they get a little calloused and they don't just immediately latch onto and decide to tie in and pour into every person that walks through the door. Because they want to see if you're back for a few weeks before they invest mm-hmm. in you.
Which on staff's part, we need to not do that.
But they're human.
But still, we should treat everybody like a prodigal, as if they're literally going to be around. Like
they get a robe and a ring.
I went for a while, and there was times that, like, people I'd met several times would come up and be like, oh, you're new here. And I'm like, yeah. I've been coming here for, like, 2 months. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, and like.
And, I mean, in your situation, it was a big church, so that's easy to. Yeah,
and like, the crazy thing is.
Can you imagine if our church did that?
The enemy would try and utilize that as a What's place to enter into offense.
Yeah.
And then I would get offended, right? No, like, I need this more than this needs me,
right? You know, one thing that comes through really strong in what you're saying is the need for humility. And God gives more grace to the humble. Mm-hmm. And humility is how you approached a lot of this. Like, you said that you didn't come in because when you've been in church, like, your whole life and, like, I've met pastors' kids that are like, my parents are pastors. It's like, okay.
Mm-hmm. They know it all.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you met my pastor from that particular point in time, he had to argue with me for over a week about sharing my testimony.
Right.
And then he had to promise me he'd stay on stage with me.
And hold his hand.
Pretty much.
But I feel like, if we're giving people like actionable things that they can do,
yeah.
To me, it's like, okay, so number one is get plugged in to a church body.
Number one,
I was going to say
your intimate moment and your gift of having God divinely interrupt the evil in your life and give you this new shot is more for him and you than it is for the general public. Until you're founded in him.
Yeah.
So your ability to go out and spread the good news of that right away.
Get to know him.
Get to know him and start producing fruit. Because where I was going with this is when you start this journey, your focus, which mine was to be ultimately filled with God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Pentecostal.
Yeah.
Far. So to be completely filled. And when you get completely filled, then you start to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Well, sometimes the best deliverances you'll have will be through self-control.
Long suffering.
Self-control. Everybody thinks about don't say the F word. Don't say that whatever word. Self-control a lot of times looks like, okay, I'm not going to get upset or offended because I think I know what they meant.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get upset or offended because I wasn't picked. I'm not going to get upset or offended because this person blatantly doesn't smile at me and they always make me feel like I'm not a part of the small group.
Yeah.
Right? Self-control is like, God, you called me here.
Yeah.
And I'm growing in you, in your body. In your body. If you jam your finger into your eye, your finger is an irritant to your eye.
Yeah.
Right? And it's harmful. And if you're a finger right now in that body, and you keep trying to jam yourself into the eye to get attention, you're an irritant to that body. What you need to do is do what fingers do best and feel things out.
I was going to mention, a lot of people will get some sort of deliverance that has no background of like Pentecostal like Joe had.
Yeah.
Or like you had. So they literally, like when you say filled with the Holy Spirit, like they don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
So step one, if you don't have that background and you get some sort of deliverance and now you want to try to keep this and walk it out, is you need to find a church that is Spirit-filled.
Yes.
Because a lot of the churches that are not Spirit-filled, they're probably not going to help you in your deliverance.
They'll give you a self-help sermon every week.
Yeah. And again, I'm not knocking churches, but you really want the Spirit-filled church. So find a Spirit-filled church.
Yeah, you need more than just self-help is correct. What I was getting at.
Yeah. And then if you get to that church and they don't necessarily have like – a discipleship program.
Yeah.
Because I can almost see people that don't have like a background like you do with the church where they like receive like some sort of deliverance. Now they're trying to find a church. They found one. And if they hear the word discipleship program, they're going to be like, what do you guys have for discipleship? Not all churches call it that. Not all right. churches have that.
Mm-hmm.
But basically the plugged in piece.
Yeah.
Like you basically find the pastoral staff mm-hmm. and it's pretty easy to figure out who they are.
Yep.
There's usually pictures.
There's like a welcome booth at yeah. a lot of yeah. places. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Most of them have a what now.
Yeah. yeah. And mm-hmm. then you literally like being plugged in means you now need to go to every single service that they have, period. Yeah.
Also, tell them.
Correct.
Tell them. Say, hi, I'm here and I had an encounter with God and I want to get plugged in. And plugged in is very churchy. I want to get connected. I want to get involved.
Stop it.
Let's play this game for a while. But like, if you tell them, like, I need some help here. I want to learn and I want to grow.
Yeah.
They have stuff for you.
And the reason I say go directly to pastors is because if you find a church spirit filled that's like a bigger church, you might have some people come up and like greet you
yeah.
or want to like counsel you mm-hmm. if they hear like what you're going through. But the reason it's so pertinent to go to like the head and ask them where you need to belong
yeah.
is because they're going to give you the people that they know that can speak into your situation yes. correctly and properly. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you do have people in churches that may think they're helping, but really they're not yeah. equipped for it
Trust
at the moment.
Trust the guidance and leadership mm-hmm. of the head of the house.
If it's a big church, if mm-hmm. you love big church, if you love the worship and the screens mm-hmm. and the lights and you love the concert feel of a big church, awesome. But if you think you're having lunch with pastor at a big church, I was on staff right. at a big church, and the list of people just on the board, you know, people that have been giving for 10 yeah. years, wanting to have lunch with pastor and his wife is pretty long.
Can I highlight something? There's a lot of people that come in and like, it is so new and fresh and huge to you, but you're not the center of the story.
Mm-hmm.
The entire reason that you were delivered and called out of darkness is so that you could help others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a call on your life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that you get plugged in and you need all this attention on me, 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 and help me rehabilitate and help me rebuild and help me, help me, help me.
Yeah.
It is not the church of you. Mm-hmm. It is not, it is Jesus is at the center.
Yeah.
And so our approach always, and this is where you'll get fulfillment, where yeah. everything is different, but everything is the same, is when you put him first.
Mm-hmm. The plugged in part's really big though, because we literally have seen it a lot where like people are, they have like an amazing moment and they're testifying 24/7 and they are at every church function. They're at every event. They're at every Sunday, they're at every Bible study, they're at every in between those two mm-hmm. things, they're at everything and they're thriving and they're doing so good. And then all of a sudden, a few months or a, you know, 6 months, 2 weeks go by and then they miss one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden they miss another.
Yeah.
And then it becomes that they only go to Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you only go to Sunday service, you're not thrive. I don't think you're thriving, especially if you're coming out of like some sort of deliverance that mm-hmm. you yeah, need a lot of like personal teaching,
mm-hmm.
like seriously. But we can literally almost like mark it on our calendars. Like it's only going to be a matter of time for those people before they fell off the wagon.
And yeah. we reach out, like I reach out to people.
I'm going to throw a few scriptures out there because there's a million.
Yeah.
But Proverbs 13:20, whoever walks with the wise yeah. becomes wise.
Yes.
But the companion of fools will suffer harm.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived because bad company ruins good morals.
Mm-hmm.
2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? Those are just three. There's literally tons of them, mm-hmm. but that is the purpose right there. Because if you're not making your church your community, so if you're not making your church more than just Sunday mornings, if you like, if you only do Sunday mornings, who is your company Monday through Saturday? Because if it's not godly, wise counsel of people, then you are literally starting to set yourself up for failure, because you are now literally like 10 to 1 on what you're doing the majority of the week. But you expect that that good character and that wise counsel is just going to appear, yeah, and you're going to be able to live off it and sustain off it on one Sunday morning.
I saw a thing too recently, like on Instagram, and it said in Mark, the paralyzed man was healed because of his friend's faith. That's why your circle matters.
100%. 100%.
Imagine the people that like they're willing to cut a hole in the roof.
Yeah.
Find people like that. They exist.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. Your atmosphere in your life needs to change.
Yeah.
Like your friends group needs to change. Your, like, as much as you possibly can change in your personal home needs to change.
Oh.
Like your community needs to change. Like, so be prepared that now you need to literally look and be like, what needs to change immediately?
Yeah.
And what needs to change eventually?
One last thing I'll add is when people have an encounter, they're constantly seeking, like they want to feel that again. Like God shook me and spoke to my very spirit. He will. You got to read his word.
Yep.
That's his love letter to you. So many people don't turn to the word and then they turn to people.
Yep.
And they want to hear like the sermon and they're like anemic and starving.
Yep.
Because they're not being nourished by the word all the time on their own.
Yep.
So that's the other big thing, is you have to get in the word.
And also don't expect to understand the word right away.
No.
Right. Like people will stop reading it because they're like, I don't know what I just read. I just keep reading.
Read it as a story if you need to. Yeah. Like read it as, because the old, especially if you start in the Old Testament. Girl. Yeah. But like really start in the Gospels and get to know Jesus, yeah, and do that. Pray first.
The crazy amount, yeah, of people that come to me that are like my family or my girlfriend or my wife, like they're still treating me like the same person. I'm like, to them, you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to take, you've been damaging relationships for 32 yeah years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
God can right the wrong right now. But the Bible talks about asking him to give you favor in the hearts of your enemies.
Yeah.
And right now, these people are in enmity with you because they know what you're capable of in the flesh, and you've become a spiritual man.
Yeah. Well, and you can't expect them to change. Like, you can't expect them to change because they didn't go through that encounter or that experience that you just did. So they have zero clue.
Yeah.
What you just went through, even though you may be trying to tell them or you may be trying to explain it, nobody can understand what an encounter of God is, yeah, until they've been through one personally.
Mm-hmm. If you're truly on fire for God, those people can't be around you for any amount of time without either catching fire or smelling like smoke. So yeah, you have to have your focus on him,
mm-hmm,
and him alone. On judgment day, it's not going to be me, Heidi, and God. It's going to be me and God, and he's going
to... Well, also, like, so, like, Joe would have never been able to, like, if his story went differently, right? Like, what, like, if he would have got delivered and then solely relied on me changing to make him successful.
Yeah.
He, mm-hmm, on judgment day, he would have never been able to stand in front of God Almighty and said, I know you delivered me, but you gave me a wife that wouldn't trust me for 6 months.
Yeah, so I went back to it.
Correct. Like, that will never stand.
What's the point?
If you don't believe me, I might as well just go back to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you pray us out, Heidi?
Something. Can't end on that.
Father God, we just come before you, Lord, and we thank you for this conversation. We thank you for your Holy Spirit being here, Lord. We thank you that... Some of us in this room, all of us in this room have walked through fires, Father God, to be able to just speak to the people that need assistance, Lord, that need help. Lord, I pray that anybody listening, Father, that has recently gone through a deliverance or through a new encounter with you, Lord, that they just get so fed from these words that were spoken tonight and just the proper tools in order to be successful. so that they know that the power within you, Lord, that was manifested on them during that time is not gone, but there is now people put in place in specific positions and specific locations for these people at this time to be able to support them and continue their journey so that they can just become strong oak trees, like the Bible says. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. We are so blessed to have the privilege to share with you. If you haven't already, please connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. You can find us by searching at The Real King Podcast. That's at T-H-E Real King Podcast. The Real King Podcast is recorded in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. It is hosted by Joe and Heidi King, who are joined each week by Christina Santamaria as a moderator and contributor. It is produced and edited by Joe and Heidi King and Carlos and Christina Santamaria. All content is under copyright and all rights are reserved.